Good morning, and it's certainly good to be back with my brethren here at Warfield. And if you're visiting this morning, as we've already mentioned, we appreciate your presence, and we're glad that you're with us. We meet again this evening at 6 p.m., and we'd be glad to have you back for that service and for any service that you can join us with thereafter. You'd be our honored guest. It's good to be back with you. I appreciate those who filled in for me while I was gone. Always appreciate that, both in the preaching and in the Bible class. And we accomplished good, I believe, in these recent gospel meetings. The one this past week, a young man who's a freshman in college, he's probably 18 or 19, he was baptized on Thursday afternoon, and that was encouraging to go down to the church building there. This is Round Lake Beach, Chicago, on the north side of Chicago. That's a very big city. It's a very big city. And there's a lot of souls there that need saving. It seemed like anywhere we went, it was like, oh, that'll be an hour and a half to get there. It's just very big. But there are souls needing saving, and there are good brethren there that are trying to share the gospel, and it was good to be with them. As Paulo mentioned, we are moving. We're excited about that. Lord willing, we will be closing on Wednesday. And we have to be out of our home by November the 4th. So it's all going to come to play here pretty quickly over the next couple of weeks. And we're excited about being with you closer and not having to make that commute. And we're looking forward to growing in that area with you. And so we appreciate you and your patience in that matter, and looking forward to being with you here, living in town rather than commuting. When we were looking for a home here in Clarksville, you're driving around in these different communities, and you say, well, there's the Red River. And then you go over to some other community, well, there's the Red River. You go to some other community, well, there's the Red River again. As you know, the Red River is all over Clarksville, isn't it? It reminds me of going up I-65 toward Bowling Green. You cross it twice with just in a couple of minutes. The Red River is a very curvy river. And rivers are crooked because they travel the path of least resistance. When those rivers are being formed and that water is flowing, and it comes to an area of land that is firm and hard, it'll go left or right. It's going to seek a path where there's no resistance. And that's why the Red River is all over Clarksville. This morning, we want to talk about that with regard to our personal lives and our spiritual lives with the Lord. That like a river, so many people just simply want to travel in life the road of least resistance. Whatever comes up in their life, it's just simply going to be taking the easiest road. And what this means basically is that when we come to an obstacle, rather than working with it with God's Word, and like we just sang that we're going to put on the strength of the Lord and we're going to battle this particular matter, we just simply give in and take the path of least resistance. It means the easiest way around an obstacle. It means that we're going to just seek the easiest solution. We don't want any antagonism. We don't want any fight or any challenge. And if you look at the very beginning of God's Word in Genesis chapter 3, that's really what the devil is appealing to with regard to Adam and Eve there. God said no, but look at this fruit and it's so nice and it's right here and you can see it right there. Just go ahead and eat it. There's this approach from the very beginning of time with the devil, and that is just take the easiest route. The Lord, on the other hand, even showing in His own personal life, Jesus in going to the cross, the Lord, on the other hand, shows the other way. And that is the path of greatest resolve. So this morning, we have a choice between this easy solution, this easy way around, or we can choose resolve. We can choose the path of least resistance, or we can choose the path of greatest resolve. And this morning, I want to encourage us to follow the Lord's way. Think about how many times in your life and mine we've faced different kinds of things, and when we were younger, we chose the path of least resistance. Hopefully, as we're getting older, we realize that that's not the Lord's way. And there are times when we have to be firm and choose the path of greatest resolve. Why is it that we have a divorce rate of over 50%, the path of least resistance? Why is it that we abort 1.4 million babies every year just in the United States, not even counting around the world? Because we choose the path of least resistance. Why is it that we have road rage and anger management and other kinds of things going on? Because we choose the path of least resistance. Why do we have violent assaults? Why do we have mass murders in Las Vegas and other places? Because we choose the path of least resistance. Now, going along and getting along is actually a good thing when we're talking about matters of opinion. We want to be someone who is easily workable. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, you remember there with regard to Abraham and Lot, and they're making the decision as to what land they're going to choose. And Abraham says, look, you choose what you want, and I'll go the other way. There are times in life when we're talking about matters of judgment and matters of opinion and what is best for the whole, then we're simply going to say, look, you have your way. And I'm going to be someone who's easygoing and workable, and I'm not going to put up any kind of resistance or anything like that. Another example in the New Testament is Acts chapter 15. You remember there where Paul and Silas are trying to make a decision about making a trip, and Silas wants to take John Mark. And Paul had remembered from that previous journey in Acts 13 that he left them, you know, halfway through. And so Paul says, I don't want to take John Mark. And Barnabas says, I'll take him. And the text says there that they set forth their case rather strongly in Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41. But at the end of it, everybody's working together. And both groups go out and present God's word, and there's no problem. You know, in matters of opinion and judgment and these types of things, especially with regard to the work of the church and what is going to better us as a whole, these types of things need to be something where we're not putting up a fight. But when it comes to our relationship to God in matters of truth, and fighting the devil and resisting the devil, we need to put up a fight. And that's our encouragement this morning. You know, there's no shortcuts in our service to Christ. But the problem is we live in a country where that is encouraged. And so if we're not careful, we begin to think of that with regard to our life and our relationship with God. There are some things in life where the shortcuts have helped us, the conveniences have helped us. We have microwaves, for example. You don't have to sit there and watch your pot of water boil for several minutes. You can just have it done like that. And our washing machine and our dryers and things, you don't have to go out and put laundry on the line like in the old days. And then, did I remember to bring that in at the end of the day? You just throw it in the dryer and it's done in 45 minutes or whatever. There's a number of shortcuts, there's a number of conveniences in life, but the problem with that is we start thinking that everything in life should be like that. Our young people are in an environment where we might be tempted to just take shortcuts. I'm going to neglect my homework, I'm going to skip class, I'm going to quit practice. Practice is hard, my coach is on me, and I don't know if I want to do that. And I've got a test coming up, and I don't want to study hard at home. I'll just cheat on it. I'll just get answers from a friend or something like that. And so it's encouraged there. Shortcuts and the easy way out. We find it with regard to our employment. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. We're familiar there about the sluggard and the lazy person. And with regard to our employment, often you'll be surrounded by individuals who don't want to put in an honest day's work for an honest day's wage. And they want something for nothing. And there's always the shortcut and the quick fix. And so go to the ant, thou sluggard. The ant is the energetic one and the industrious one. But go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways. And then verse 10, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, so shall thy poverty come as a robber. We don't want to work hard. Ecclesiastes 10:18, by neglect the roof leaks. I don't want to fix the leak. I don't want to get up there and fix the hole. It's too much work. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 6, to the employee, to work heartily as unto the Lord, not as pleasing men, but not in way of eye service, but work heartily unto the Lord. We see it in school. We see it at work. We see it in our own government from time to time. Rather than encouraging industriousness and conservation and saving and working, and it's all about just bailout programs. Anybody can live any way they want, and we'll support you in that. It's everywhere in our life. We have to push that back. And if we're not careful, we're going to find that very thing with regard to our relationship with God. Just the path of least resistance. And we need to teach our children these principles that we're going to look at this morning in God's Word, because they're surrounded by just take the shortcut. And it's not just about school, but take the shortcut when you're tempted to do something that's wrong. Just go ahead and do that. There are principles that are being neglected, I believe, in God's Word. One principle that is being neglected is the principle of excellence. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10 that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Even if it's a little chore around the house or your work or your school or everywhere in between, do the best at what you're supposed to be doing. And with that mentality, we won't be taking shortcuts. We won't be taking the path of least resistance. We need to be teaching the principle of excellence in our lives. Not settling for second best and just, you know, the leftovers and in a religion of mediocrity where it's just okay to be okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll turn with me there, the Apostle Paul encourages, some of the versions use the word excel, to abound, to grow. Don't stay at the same level. But as you abound or excel in everything, in faith and in utterance, that's what we say, getting better in our faith, getting better in how we use our tongue, better in our knowledge and in earnestness and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. The grace there is the grace of giving, the contribution. But look at the word abound or excel. You don't stay at the same level in all of these areas of your life, Paul says. We need to be teaching the principles of excellence and improving and excelling and abounding in our spiritual lives just as we would in other areas of our lives. But not only that, there's a principle of resistance that needs to be taught. The Scripture in God's Word teaches resistance. And I asked, or Daniel asked what we were studying this morning, and he chose that song, "The battle belongs to the Lord." We need to put up a fight. The principles of excellence are not being taught today. The principles of resistance are not being taught today. You remember in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, when Peter was not acting like a Christian should act. He was acting hypocritically. He was acting one way around the Gentiles. And then when the Jews showed up, he acted like he didn't want to be with the Gentiles. And Paul says, I resisted him to his face. At some point, we have to say no. And Paul loved Peter. And that's one reason why he did that. I resisted him to the face. That doesn't mean you yell and scream. That doesn't mean you throw a punch. That doesn't mean you get angry. I mean, but you can do that in a calm way. You say, Peter, you're not acting uprightly according to the truth. Verse 14, brother, you're not walking uprightly according to the truth. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, we're told to put on the whole armor of God that we might stand against the wiles of the devil. We have to be teaching those principles. There are times throughout the day or throughout the week where we have to resist. We have to say no. We cannot take the path of least resistance and just do what feels right and what feels good and what comes to me naturally and that type of thing. We need to do what comes to me through God's Word and how Christ would have me to act. Like the Red River, we don't just want to be all over the place. We want to follow God's Word and God's will. And so let's be teaching the principles of excellence. Sometimes my father would do that with me, and it might just be some little simple little job around the house. It might be sweeping up some mess on the floor, and I get 75% of it and leave the rest. And he'd come back and say, do that right. Do that right. It's a principle of doing the best that we can do, and it teaches this principle of not just taking shortcuts. And then we won't find ourselves doing that in our spiritual lives. And so we might find this in the church. What about our attendance? Sometimes we'll come, but when there's a little bit of a resistance there, we'll take another path. Let's be here. Let's be present each and every opportunity and teach our children that it's going to be a priority with us. This last gospel meeting in Chicago, there's an elderly brother there, probably in his 80s, and he comes in not with one cane, he comes in with two canes. He's got a cane for each hand. And he's hurting and his body is racked with pain and he's got troubles in his life. But he's always there early to greet the visitors and he stays late to greet the visitors. And he comes in walking like this. If he can do it, we can do it. Let's not let those little things that might crop up. And so let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves as is the custom of some. If we're teaching our children that just at any little inconvenience we can't come, then often in their life they take it to a further level and don't come at all. Let's not take shortcuts. Let's not take shortcuts in the Lord's Supper. We were at a congregation once where some brethren regularly left right after the Lord's Supper. They had places they needed to go and things that they needed to do, and it's a shortcut. We see in our country today shortcuts in manufacturing. We see shortcuts in the way things are made. Do you remember when this country made things that were quality? Now it's shortcuts and cheaper and whatever's quicker. But we find that when we go to use the product, it just doesn't work or doesn't work long. And when we take shortcuts in our spiritual lives, it doesn't work. Some will do things here at the building and we'll be active, which is good, but we won't do anything outside the building. And so in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 26, the one talent man, I just don't want to do what I need to do. There are things that we need to do in and out of the building. Let's not take shortcuts. Let's not take shortcuts in our Bible study. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Some versions have the word study, and so you're thinking of the idea of sitting down with a pencil and a notebook and that type of thing, and maybe a Bible and a Bible dictionary and that type of thing, and it certainly could involve that. The word literally means just to give diligence. It needs to be something that we put our all into, and we're trying to encourage in our Bible programs here the idea of studying here at the building, but also throughout the week, and give some time to pour over that. And I see that we're doing that, and I'm encouraged by that. Give diligence to present thyself approved. It means something that you strive after. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, handling aright, or some versions say handling accurately the word of truth. We have to be careful how we interpret the word of God and how we teach the word of God. And that takes some reflective study. We have to be careful with the words and the context and so forth. We don't want to be someone with just little or no study. We don't want to take a shortcut. We want to put that work into it. And if that means setting aside time at home, turn the TV off or something like that, let's do that. It's a great reward. Some are engaged in little or no giving. Jeff mentioned about loving God and keeping the commandments around the contribution. I've known of brethren in other places who were good brethren in many kinds of ways, in their attitude and in their demeanor, but they wouldn't give come Sunday. That just wasn't something they were going to do. And they have money and they were using it on other things throughout the week, but when it comes to Sunday, I don't have that. Just finding places where we can take shortcuts. Turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3. There are some who are demanding shorter services, and can we get in and get out pretty quickly so that we can get on to other kinds of things? And while I realize that local congregations use judgment with regard to their local membership, there are some congregations that have memberships. The Chicago area is actually one of those areas where people might be traveling over an hour or more to a service. You might have to adjust some things and arrange some things. I understand that. And when you're in other countries, you have to adjust and arrange some things with regard to the service to help brethren get there. And because they're traveling all day, they might not be able to come back at another service. And so they have one service. There's different things that could be taken into account there. But I'm just simply talking about the simple idea of I just want less God in my life. And that's a problem, brother. In Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 3, when they gathered together with the men and the women and the children, they all gathered together. The text says that they were there from early morning until midday. 5-6 hours. And while I don't plan on preaching overtime this morning, can't we just stay? Are we so busy and have so much cram packed in that we can't come to a gospel meeting? We can't come to a service. We can't come and stay. We live in an environment of brevity. Look at how much we want brevity with regard to our phones. We want those messages quickly and instantly. And we want things quickly and instantly. And if we're not careful, if we don't push back that mentality, then we're going to have that in our lives in the church. And it's just going to be some little quick type of thing and in and out. And that's all we need. I thought I had seen it all. But back in the 90s, we had some denominations with drive-through communion. I don't know if that's still going on or not. Drive-through communion, where you can get it and go on to the more important things on Sunday. Maybe somebody might refuse to stand for the truth. Jude 3, contend earnestly for the faith. Maybe somebody might give in to the devil rather than resisting it. So here's this temptation. And James gives two admonitions there. A negative one, resist the devil, but a positive one, draw near to God. And we do that through prayer and Bible study and being with other brethren. And with that combination, we can beat the devil. Resist him, but also draw near to God. But today's approach is just give in. The devil made me do it. And it's almost as if in the society that we live in today, it's almost expected that you would take the path of least resistance, because that's what so many people are doing. And then, of course, going along with the world. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Listen, we are not in a world that is good for us. I wish we were. Noah was not in a world that was good for he and his family. The thought of their heart was evil continually. Wickedness and evil was rampant everywhere. We're in a crooked and perverse generation, Philippians 2:15. And we have to be separate from that. Not physically. We might work with those who are sinful and go to school and live in neighborhoods. But we do not go along with that. We do not engage in that. We have to say no to those things. This young man that was baptized Thursday, we spoke the night before. We talked a long time and we studied, and he was baptized the next day. And one of the comments that he made was, well, I go to college. And when I go there to school, there's temptations and there's other problems there. And I don't know if I can handle those kinds of things. I don't know if I can say no to those things. And we talked about that. So our young people here of college age face these things, and those younger in school we might face it at work or somewhere else. But this is not a place for shortcuts. We might fail to practice what is preached. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 32, God says to Ezekiel, they're going to come and hear you. And you're going to sound to them like a lovely and pleasant song. But they will leave and they will not obey. There's times when we hear things and we know that it's truth. We know we need to make the change, but it's easier just to go out and not do anything with it. We might neglect our personal duties, and like the priest and the Levite in Luke chapter 10, we might walk by on the other side when we really need to be doing something with our fellow man. It's easy to take the path of least resistance in a shortcut and give an excuse as to why we shouldn't do such and such at such and such time. And I've been there, and I know the pressure that's put on you. Well, you know, I'm busy and so I won't do it, or I don't want to take the time. And yet we find that the Good Samaritan stopped and picked him up and took him on his way and helped him out. It might be the controlling of our temper and our tongue. Turns me to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 20. We see road rage and we see domestic abuse and we see all kinds of things like that that stem from anger and wrath. And one of the problems in our society is that we are excusing it and we're saying, well, you know, that's just the way I am and this is the way we're going to be. Instead of changing and putting off the old man and putting on the new man, our society is encouraging this kind of behavior. I was reading recently where certain psychiatrists in our nation today are encouraging just let out your anger. And after you let it out, then you can work on doing something else. And we're excusing it and we're saying it's fine. In preparation for this lesson, I remembered that the New American Standard, I'm thinking, I know the New American Standard says somewhere outbursts of anger. And I'm thinking, where is that? And so I was Googling that and trying to figure that out. And you know, when I just put an outburst of anger in Google, you know what the first thing that popped up was? A clinic somewhere out in the West, that a psychiatry clinic that was working with its patients, and they were talking about intermittent explosive disorder. Intermittent explosive disorder. That's how they're explaining someone who just vents themselves. Intermittent explosive disorder. Everything's a disorder. Everything's an illness. Everything's a sickness. And we're excusing behavior, brother. Paul says to stop it. And so the New American Standard says outbursts of anger. One version says fits of rage. The American Standard says wrath. But it's that quick flare up inside that often shows itself on the outside. Well, that's a shortcut. That's the path of least resistance. And when something is troubling me on the inside, I must continue to engage in self-control. The very thing just a few verses later, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. It is terrible advice that our American Psychiatric Association is encouraging people just to give in to your feelings and desires instead of controlling it. It's the path of least resistance. And I have to exercise that, like you might. Brethren, this morning we have a choice. We can travel the path of least resistance, like some that we're going to look at this morning. Or we can travel the path of greatest resolve, like some that we're going to look at this morning. And I hope that we'll all take the latter. We don't want to be like the Red River and just at any turn just go some other way. We want that straight course toward heaven. We can be like Samson. Turn to Judges chapter 16. The text says that Delilah vexed him daily and all day long. And finally, he gives in and says, okay, the strength is in my hair. And so when he's asleep, she cuts his hair and he doesn't have that strength anymore. But the text says that she vexed him all day long. Oh, I just can't put up with this anymore. So I'm just going to tell her. There are things in our life that go all day long, and then they go into the next day, and they go into the next day, and maybe even the next day. But we need to have the path of following God and God's Word. Don't give in to a shortcut. And so when he loses his physical strength, he loses his spiritual strength. The text says he didn't know that the Lord had left him. It's not just about, well, I can't tear down buildings anymore. The text says the Lord was not with him. It's not just a matter of losing physical strength, but the Lord was not with him. He didn't own up to his vow. Well, why didn't he own up to his vow? Well, she was on me all day long, nagging me all day long. Don't be like that. Don't be like Jeroboam. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 12. Jeroboam offered up unauthorized practices of idolatry in Dan and Bethel in the far northern part of Israel instead of going down to Jerusalem where the authorized worship was. And so in 1 Kings chapter 12 and verse 28, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold, and he said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. So he set up calf worship in Dan and Bethel, north of Jerusalem. And he said, oh, it's too hard for you to go down there. You got to go down there all the time and the authorized animal sacrifices and all that. Don't do that. It's more convenient to be up here in the north. You don't have to go all the way down there. You see? Let's just take a shortcut. Let's just take the easy route. The path of convenience. And it's unauthorized. And as a result of that, from here on in the book of Kings, we have this statement where many people did like Jeroboam. Oh, he made some things look like the authorized worship. But he changed the place in addition to some other things. He changed the place, and his argument was, it's too far for you to go down there. Notice the appeal to, let's just take a shortcut. You can be like Peter in Matthew chapter 26. He says, I'm not going to deny you. I won't deny you, Lord. And Jesus says, well, by the time this night is over with, you will have denied me three times. And we find out why when you turn over to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. He's sitting out by himself and these individuals are asking him, do you know Jesus? And he says, I know not the man. And so we're all strong while we're here in the building. We're all strong and we're all for the Lord. But when you go to school tomorrow, when you go to work tomorrow, when you go out somewhere and you're by yourself now all of a sudden, what are you going to do? Peter was all, I'm for you, Lord, when it was Jesus and the apostles there in the upper room. I'm all for you. He gets out by himself, warming his hands by the fire, and it's a different tune now. So here's the classmate that's asking you to do something wrong or something else. What are you going to do? So he took the path of least resistance. And I know not the, and not only that, but verse 24, he begins to swear and curse. I'm letting you know that I don't know this man. Singing a different tune, isn't he? When he's out by himself. And then later in Galatians 2, as we already looked, things were fine and he was associating with Gentiles and he's acting like, you know, you don't have to be a Jew in order to be saved. And I'm going to show that. But here comes some Jews from Jerusalem and all of a sudden I don't know these people. So it's real easy to serve the Lord when you're surrounded by things that are going well. But when things change, are we going to continue serving the Lord? We need to. We don't need to be like Pilate in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24. When Pilate saw that he prevailed nothing, but rather a tumult was arising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this righteous man. I can't do anything. Really? Pilate is a Roman governor. He can do whatever he wants. But he got pushed around and shoved around. And Luke tells us that the voices prevailed. They kept chanting, well, I'm just going to take the easy route. Let him crucify the guy. You remember the book of John? John is the one that has Pilate going out, he came in, then he went back out, and then he came back in, and then he went back out, and he came back in. He can't make up his mind. Brethren, we need to be strong. Not like Pilate. Not like Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Demas, a traveling companion of Paul, a co-worker, a hard worker. But there came a point toward the end of their labors where he just forsook Paul, having loved this present world. I'm going to be right there with you, Paul, as long as, you know, we're working hard. But when something comes along in this age that I really like, whoo, I'm gone. I've got more important things to do. I've got more exciting things to do. And so he left. He loved this present world. The word there means age. There's something of that time that was a twinkling in his eye, an attraction, an advertisement. And he went off and went after that. And then Paul says later in the chapter that I'm by myself. Let's not take the path of least resistance like these individuals. As we close this morning, let's take the path of great resolve like these individuals. Let's be like these individuals. Job. In Job chapter 2 and verse 9, his wife says, curse God and die. That would be the shortcut. That would be the easy out. He says, no, I'm not going to sin with my lips. I'm not going to do that. And so in all of his ups and downs throughout that story, at the end, James says in James chapter 5 that you take for an example the patience and the endurance of Job. We're not going to take a shortcut. We're not going to listen to those voices of shortcut. And there are many. They're everywhere. And it could be today, the voices of some sort of a shortcut. Some sort of an easy route, an easy way. Don't listen to that. And it may be close to us. It's a shame that Job's own wife was suggesting this. We would expect it from somebody else, but not someone close to you. And there may be someone close to us that is suggesting some kind of a shortcut. Let's not do that. Let's not take the path of least resistance, but that of great resolve like Job and like Jesus. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus is being tempted, what does the devil do? Have you ever noticed that the devil's three temptations all revolve around the idea of taking a shortcut? They all revolve around the idea of taking the path of least resistance. First of all, you're really hungry, Jesus, so I'll tell you what. Why don't you use your powers to turn these stones into bread? Jesus was not given miraculous power for his own self-serving purpose. It was to show that he was the Son of God. It was to heal others, but not for some personal quick gratification. That's why I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to turn these stones into bread. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. No, devil, I am not going to take some quick little shortcut and make some bread real quick because I'm hungry. Then look at the next one. It takes him to the pinnacle of the temple, which is probably the where the eastern wall comes down and meets the southern wall, and there's this high overlook, and right down below is the Kidron Valley in the Valley of Hinnom. They threw garbage down there. It's way off down there. Just jump off. Jump off, and his angels will give charge over thee, and you won't have to dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. The verse that the devil quotes is in the book of Psalms. And in that psalm, it says that if you live daily for the Lord, he'll place his angels in charge over you. You'll be cared for if you daily serve and follow the Lord. The devil took that out of context and said, hey, just jump off the temple real quick and see if he'll help you. No. That's not daily following the Lord. And so there's this appeal to a shortcut. And then look at the last one. He takes him up on a high mountain to see all the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof, and said, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus come to establish a kingdom? Sure he did. But was it through this route? Just bow down quickly to the devil and you get a bunch of kingdoms? No, it was through the cross. It was through teaching and healing and going to the cross. Not just some quick little bow down and you get a bunch of kingdoms. He got a kingdom. He came to establish a kingdom, but it wasn't this way. It was through the path that God had chosen him to take. So we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be like Job. We're going to be like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have finished the course. It was like a marathon for Paul. And if you've ever done any running, even for a short distance, you realize, oh, my body's hurting, my legs are hurting, my lungs are hurting. But you keep running. And being a Christian is like a long distance run. And you go all the way to the end. Look at the things that happened to Paul. Look at all of the things that he had to go through. Physical persecutions. Spiritual types of issues. And he was always there running to the end. We need to be like Epaphroditus in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 30. The text says that he gave himself for the cause of Christ, and he hazarded many things in his life so that he could serve the Lord and serve his brethren. Because for the work of Christ, he came nigh unto death. That's not someone who's looking for a shortcut. He came nigh unto death, hazarding his life to supply that which was lacking in your service toward me. Let's be that this morning. Let's be that kind of person. And let's be the Antipas who in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13 was killed among you. Here's someone who's willing to die for the cause of Christ. Now, we're not going to take the path of least resistance this morning, brethren and friends. We're going to take the path of great resolve. And we know when we take shortcuts. Have you ever taken a shortcut? You know the moment you take it. You know, this is not going to work. We've done that before in building things and in trying to fix things. I've done that before around the house. You go to fix something, you go to deal with something, and maybe you're busy, you don't have the time. You know, the moment you took a shortcut, and you're just kind of hoping maybe nobody else will find out about that. Don't do that. More importantly, God knows when we take shortcuts. And he knows that we're taking this path of least resistance, and he's crying out through his word to try to help us. He's giving us these examples like Job and Jesus and Antipas and Paul. He's giving us examples. He's giving us admonitions. He's telling us you can do that. So this morning, the lesson is yours. Let us take the path of great resolve. That may begin this morning by you coming and obeying the gospel, being baptized into Christ. We would like to do that. Or is it erring child of God to come back in some way? You're sitting there thinking, well, not today, not right now. That's the shortcut. Just come and obey. And for those who are living faithfully, my encouragement is to keep doing that and go out this week. There are going to be times this week when you're going to be told, take the shortcut. Just don't do it. Our relationship with God in the end, in heaven, is made by taking the path of great resolve, not the path of least resistance. If we can help you in some way, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?